Welcome to the fourth episode of SourceCast. I'm Anai Ukailestis.
And I'm Swords of the Wolves.
And I'm Rusty the Fox.
And I am not a girl. Yeah, I am Skoblaka Shurtigal, the newest SourceCaster.
And welcome to him.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes.
Very.
So why don't we get started? Well, we're back. Fourth episode of the SourceCast, and we're actually recording it now, and we're going to publish it and whatnot. Sorry we've been out.
Yeah, we've just been...
That was a lot of my fault. Sorry.
We've all been kind of busy lately, but you know, now we've got all this sorted out, and, you know, we're back now.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully permanently.
Yeah, hopefully permanently.
We'll do our best with that.
So what happened to, not Swords. Swords is here. What happened to Lux? Well, he just, after the hiatus for the SourceCast, he just ended up getting way too busy to participate in it. So he resigned himself after we asked him, and so we had to find another one. Therefore, Skull is here with us.
And in addition,
ta-da!
And in addition, he also didn't really feel comfortable with doing a podcast on a site that he wasn't very active on anymore. But he does wish to send his condolences, and he did say that he had a lot of fun on the project, and we are very glad that we got to have him for the short time that we did. He will be missed.
He will.
So long, Lutz.
In the interest of, you know, the upsides, at the very least, he did realize a problem with some of our recording was the massively different time zones we resided in. See, Rusty resides in the Mountain Time Zone in Arizona, which, to make matters even more complicated, doesn't observe daylight savings.
Ooh.
And Anayu and I are in the Central Time Zone, and we do observe daylight savings. And Lux, as you know, was in Norway.
Normally, it would be close to 3 or 4 in the morning for him.
Yeah.
So.
And that is definitely not a fun time to be recording official podcast. So.
Oh no.
Oh no. We all miss Lux, and we really do appreciate him being with us and for the episode 2 recording.
Yes.
And we miss him, and we wish him best of luck. But now we have Skull, who has a much closer time with us, so it's a lot easier for everybody as well. Not to say that Lux was a burden to anybody, because he wasn't. Just saying that.
Of course not.
No. We miss him.
Yeah, I am in Central Time Zone, same as Anayu and Sorbs, so it's a little easier to schedule times that way. Nothing against Lux.
Yeah, but now what that means for everybody else, for the audience, it's a lot easier for us in general just to keep a regular schedule going and maybe even update faster. So you will hear from us a lot more now. Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah.
That is the plan. I believe the official thing we are trying to work towards eventually will be a bi-weekly podcast. Basically, we're hoping to do this every 2 weeks. That way you get 2 shows a month instead of just the 1 that you were normally used to getting when it actually came out on time.
If it came out on time. Which only episode 1 and 2 actually came out on time.
Yeah, because after that... Just...
No comment.
So with this new change in the format for the SourceCast, we were actually trying a lot of different recording techniques. Not really recording techniques, but different fun little things to get the audience involved with the actual recording. And that was a live feed sort of thing on the website that we're working on for the SourceCast. Unfortunately, during our testing, we came up with some problems, so that's not up and running yet. And we apologize. I know we've been advertising that leading up to this recording, but we can't make it work yet. So that's still work in the works, maybe, given the resources that we have. So look forward to that, but not too much.
Yes.
Yeah, we. I think the best thing we'll be able to do with that is do a brief live chat before the show, because doing a Skype call at the same time as doing a live stream and viewing everyone else's live stream, and at the same time viewing the live chat box, that takes up a lot of bandwidth for all of us.
Not to mention at the same time recording.
Yeah, yeah, that too. That, you know, that could blow out someone's computer power or something. But, you know, so yeah. we're working. We would like to do it live at some point, but we don't have the capabilities for that just yet.
I'll be looking into it more, especially because I've gotten some good ideas on how maybe we could achieve it. But again, it's taking a lot of time and a lot of creative thinking to make this work, especially with four people. Whereas a lot of things that I've seen it through live stream, the one where the client we're actually using, or we were using, to do the actual live recording and chats, majority of the things you see through that is just a one person video and audio. And that's great if it's just the one person. It's the tricky part is trying to work in other people.
Right, because sometimes the videos aren't synced very well, and our conversations will sound really weird and off-timed.
Yeah, but the bottom line is we're still working on that. It's still technically a possibility, maybe. I don't know, but we'll keep tinkering around with that. Hopefully it works. We'll find a way.
Maybe two or three episodes from now.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we should have plenty of beta testing times for you guys to help us out at. We will try and provide at least 48 hours before we do any beta testing so you guys can come on and view the live stream and chat and everything, and we will should have a coordinated time, like it'll probably be standardized in central or eastern time, just because that'll be the easiest to figure out, and then we'll try and do like an easy conversion or something. Right. Either way, we'll try to make sure that we post those at least 48 hours in advance to when we're actually going to be on the live stream and doing some testing and trying to get people's input and work on that.
Right. And with all that out of the way, let's jump right into the site and forum news, shall we?
Oh, real quick. I modified the banner that Mighty Balto actually made for us, just to include some of the characters a little bit more, make them a little more adorable, and because I felt like doing some graphics editing practice, since I'm not very good at it. So check them out. You can link to us in your SIGs now.
Right. Okay. They're on the SourceCast forums, not SourceCast forums, SourceCast topic in the other section of the forums, and you can also preview them wherever a Nayu goes.
Check out my SIG. I've got one of them in there. It's also got a link to our topic on the forum. So.
Which is useful. We don't have to search anymore.
Yeah.
So you guys should already have that bookmarked, by the way. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
If they don't have it bookmarked by now...
We would need to look for it in general, because we would hope that the topic will stay active so we could stay on the front page of the other section.
Right.
Oh, it is still at the top of the other section.
Thank you, Stickies.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, shall we move on?
All right.
Yes, let's.
Moving on to site and forum news. So obviously, SourceCast is back. Sorry for the wait again.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
So obviously, since last time, there have been a few new sources added to our list. And this was a very big surprise to me when I came back and realized there were like three extra sites.
Yeah, it was pretty mind-boggling to me, too.
Yeah.
Yep. So all the sources now are, and I quote, the front page, Balto Source, The Lion King Source, Tailspin Source, The Princess and the Frog Source, All Dogs Go to Heaven Source, Spirit Stallion and Cimarron Source, and Lady and the Tramp Source.
Yeah, and I think the only two I really didn't know well were Spirit and Lady and the Tramp, because they hadn't finished translating Spirit into the English side yet.
Yeah, I had no idea they were even working on Lady and the Tramp.
I went on Hiatus. Yeah, I didn't. That was a complete surprise. I came back and there was.
That's a good movie. So.
It is a good movie. I'm really glad they added that. It was just, again, came back. Oh, new site.
Yeah, there you go.
So what do we have next as far as sources go?
Let's see. Coming up, for sure, what I know coming up is there is a 101 Dalmatians source in the works, an Oliver and Company source, an Aristocat source, and a Toy Story source, which I actually got a sneak preview of the other day.
Yeah, I saw it too. It looked pretty good. I mean, from what I saw, I couldn't see because you need to be a mod to actually see it right now. But they have the top banner, and they have the background, and it brought me to tears. It was so beautiful.
Now, from the rumor mill, because I am not entirely sure if these aren't actually in progress yet, or if it's planned to be in progress, but they're not quite in the works just yet. But I have heard that there will be a Cats Don't Dance source, a Brother Bear source, and a Secret of Nim source.
You know, I gotta say, Cats Don't Dance source will be an interesting idea because...
I love that movie.
Yeah, and plus, it's all... Plus, you know, like Balto and some of these other movies, it was made by a now defunct animation company, which is, you know, Warner Brothers Animation.
Yeah.
An interesting fact is the Annie Awards, which award the best in animation each year, Cats Don't Dance was the very first non-Disney film to win Best Picture.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Really. It started out, I don't know, 1987, I think. Anyway, The Great Mouse Detective won that year. And then Oliver and Company won 1988, Little Mermaid 89, and so on. Then it came to 97. It was up against Hercules, and Cats Don't Dance won.
And Hercules didn't win?
Yeah, Hercules didn't win.
There's one source that I think they should pursue, and that's the Beauty and the... I think if they work on a Beauty and the Beast source, that would be good.
You know,
Beauty and the Beast, aside from Up, because Up happened recently, Beauty and the Beast was the first and so far one of two animated movies that were nominated for Best Picture, like in the Academy Awards. So, you know, if anyone's out there has got an idea for one, I say go for it.
I have seen people suggest that on the forums. I'm not sure if that's in the works too. I honestly really hope it is, though. That's one of my favorite Disney movies.
Actually, kind of funny, the main animation source hub, animationsource.org, no link. The Ask Questions page, the newest question it was asked 2 hours ago, I think, was, is there going to be a Beauty and the Beast source?
As ironic as that is, that's pretty cool.
I hope so.
Yeah, more on that later.
To correct something I'd said not, you know, 10 minutes ago, the source cast banner that I have in my SIG does not lead to our forum topic. It actually leads to our My Podcast page. My bad.
Well, either way, it shouldn't be too hard to find in the forums.
Yeah, no. I fixed
it. So, with all that, well, of the three rumored ones, what do you guys think? Are you the most excited, though? I think we know the answer to some of that for one of you.
For me, it's definitely 101 Dalmatians. I love watching that movie. Kind of Cruella. God, I could not. I never, ever, ever got that song out of my head.
No? Wow.
No. Because I remember watching it at least 3 times.
So, how about I Know You?
It's a toss up between like 5. I love Toy Story, so of course I obviously have to be excited for that. Not to mention, it is a CG animated film, and it is the film that beat out Balto in the box office, and it is the reason that Balto didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So to see these two next to each other on one site is kind of exciting.
And plus, it's kind of odd, too, because considering how much, no offense, Steve, but considering how much Steve doesn't like 3D animated movies, like computer CGI movies, I'm surprised. But,
it's kind of a big step, at least a surprising step anyways, to incorporate a movie like that.
But you can't deny that Toy Story is a good movie.
Oh, absolutely.
No denying it.
Absolutely.
No, and, I can't deny it. And I personally applaud him. I think it is a step in the right direction.
When I was talking to Steed about why he was making a Toy Story source, he said it was just PMing back and forth, but he said it was just to see what kind of a fan base Toy Story actually has, and he's trying to lure them to see Balto source. Don't quote me on that. That's not his exact wording, but it was something like that.
Yeah,
something.
Something along those lines. But he said it's just an experimental source. He is not planning on making more CG sources. Toy Story is, as he plans it, the only CG source he is going to make. So don't ask him for Wall-E and Ratatouille and
Nemo.
All those films are great, but Steet wants to honor 2D animation. And
which you know, that's respectable. You know, I can respect that.
Just to real quickly finish up the thing, Skull, I want to assume that you're most excited about Toy Story Source 2?
He got that right. I loved Toy Story ever since it first came out. It was the second film I ever saw in theaters after The Lion King, so it's really close to my heart. I'm basically the exact same age as Andy, and when Toy Story 3 came out, Andy's going off to college. I saw it the week before I came to college, so
wow,
I can relate to Andy. And aww. I've grown up with Andy, and I've seen the toys grow with Andy, and
yeah,
it's just a trilogy that's really close to my heart, and I really love them. You're right in assuming Toy Story Source is what I'm looking forward to the most, but I am also looking forward to the other sources. They look absolutely fabulous.
Right. So, I'm just saying, like, the most excited thing as far as
the most,
what's coming down the pipe. As for me, I can tell you, hands down right now, the one I'm most excited to actually see is Brother Bear Source. Just because even though Secret of Nim is absolutely amazing as far as the first movie goes, and Toy Story is within its own right a really great movie, I still have a really good place in my heart for the animation of Brother Bear and how incredibly magical they made the story play through. So I'm really excited for that one.
I love the story of Brother Bear.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely.
Very touching story. So, yeah, that's a good idea.
And next up, we're going to talk about some of the new staff that have been added to Animation Source's moderator list.
Yeah, we've got our new moderators, our Question and Lucario, among others. Those are the two main ones I'm aware of.
Yes.
Are there any others I'm missing?
There's also Faye DHX, who has taken over my position as the roleplay mod on the forums. Good luck to her. I commend her.
And something that I don't think was mentioned since the last episode, I'm the moderator for the Animation Source Hub and for the Princess and the Frog Source.
Yes.
Just mod for everything.
I believe Jersey Captain is a mod on the Lady and the Tramp Source. And I know there are a lot more moderation changes that we are missing. Congratulations to everyone who has a new job.
Yes, congratulations to you guys.
Yes.
You've taken on a very good position, keeping order in the otherwise lawless place known as the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Not a small task, I would know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Dun, dun, dun.
Giving you guys a thumbs up. You can't see it right now, but I am.
Yeah. And on that note, as you guys have probably noticed, I have resigned. Or, well, not exactly resigned, but I am not going to be returning to my position as a moderator. And that is due to my own choice.
And likewise, I have also stepped down from the moderator position due to my own choice. I mean, I still go to the site, I'm just not nearly as active enough as I believe a moderator should be.
Exactly. Right.
As I have said to Steed in my letter, I am handing over the proverbial torch to Question and Lucario, and here's two of them.
Right. I am still a moderator, and I still plan to be. I most definitely have to, like, get my act together as far as dealing stuff with offline, then I'll be most definitely back online, back in gear to being completely active as I used to be on animation source, but I'm most definitely not thinking of resigning or any sort of thing like that, so you guys will have to still have to deal with me.
On that note, that does give us more time to put together a source cast for you, so you should really be happy that we're not mods anymore.
We still have a mod as a source caster, so he can give us some of the information that we otherwise would not be able to get.
Well, right. We still have two.
Yeah, we've got Rusty and Skull, so yeah.
I'm a mod. Very good to know.
Yep. And of course, as you also know, Lux has also stepped out because personal reasons.
As we already discussed earlier in the show. That's just in the notes, but yeah, like we said before, we miss him, and best of luck to him.
Yep.
So, well, yeah, this has pretty much been reiterated over and over and over, but I'm going to get crap for it for a long, long time. So, yeah, we're not losing a son and losing Lux. We're gaining a daughter. that is so wrong. Oh,
good. Oh, my. Okay. Just to let everybody know, I am definitely not mad at Anahi for mistaking me for a girl. I mean, I'll be honest, Skoblanka does kind of sound like a girl name, but if you want to know why I chose that name, you can look at my profile. But anyway, when she announced that she was reviewing my fanfic, I was hearing the review, and then all of a sudden I heard her fanfics are really great, she has a great Wolf series. I don't think I could breathe for a day or two. I was laughing so hard. I have never laughed that hard in my life. I was on the floor. Laughing.
And when you actually have somebody literally on the floor laughing, you've done something really funny.
Yeah, but you know what the funny thing is Anaya is not the only one. I, from the very beginning, was... I fell into that trap and thinking that Skull was a girl ever since I read the name and ever since the recording and whatnot. It's not just her, it's also me too that fell into the trap. And I'm pretty sure it's not just the us two. So,
yeah,
but...
I kind of did too.
You guys are not the first ones. When I first came on the site, I published my first story September 2008. I had people all over writing me. Saying my stories were great, and then we started short conversations, and then I mentioned, yeah, I'm not bad for a 16-year-old guy, and they're like, hey, you're a guy? So, believe me, you guys are not alone, and anybody else out there, I am not a girl. And if you believe otherwise, then something must be wrong with your headphones or something.
They're beyond help. So,
if you thought Skull was a girl, don't worry, we did too.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All right, moving on to our site and forum projects. The first one we have on our list is the Balto 4 fan project, and we've got two links for you. One that goes to the original project page, I think, and the other one that goes to the actual Facebook page for the project. Really, all I have to say about it is just contact Callisto, Kaisho, and Wolf Bassist for more details and more information. As far as I'm aware, they've got a lot of work that still needs to be done. The script is in the final stages of being finalized, and they need animators, production staff, voices, and anything else under the sun. Just contact them, and I'm sure they can give you a job, put you to work, and you can work on a great fan project.
Anything also. Anything you can provide, they'll take it. So,
yep.
Talk to them, and they'll send you in the right direction.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that was easy.
Pretty much.
So up next is the SourceCast forum pitch. So we're going to pitch to you our forums, which is not ready yet.
Still.
but we're working on it.
We're working. Our idea for it is really to just be an easier way to get the audience involved with the SourceCast. It's just a whole in general movement of what we're trying to redesign the source cast to, and it's to incorporate a lot of interaction into the from the audience to the source cast and back and forth. And
yes.
what we aim to do with this website with this forums is it's essentially an interactive mailbag, if you would say. We don't plan on taking any sort of attention from the Animation Source forums. We just an easier way to contact us and help us provide more content for everybody else to listen to who visit the Animation Source project. Animation Source.
Yeah, because like instead of me or Mike not be sure about sending to this email address we have.
Email address. Mm.
We'll have us forums incorporated into the Animation Source forums. So while you're browsing the Animation Source, you can just drop in a comment or a question or something, and we'll be able to answer it because we'll be looking at it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully, with this being added in, we can get more interaction and involvement from you guys, because that's really the only reason we're making this podcast, is for you, for your entertainment, your enjoyment. So we really want you guys to get involved.
And we want feedback, too. So
yeah, we really want feedback. I want to know if we're making you laugh or if we're being stupid.
So, yeah.
Tell us.
And while the feedback that we've gotten with the mailbag by itself and the YouTube comments, like it's been increasing over time as we do more episodes, but it still seems a little empty. Like, we feel like the word for SourceCast is not really going out as fast as we hope so. So we're doing more and more just to spread the word and have you guys enjoy the show, really. And also be a part of it. Like, it's not just us that provide content for the show. The majority of the content comes from the community, comes from everybody else's creative minds. Like their stories and stuff. Yes. So that's what we're trying to do, trying to get more of that into it.
We want you to feel like you're a part of the SourceCast.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
We do.
and if you write in enough, you might even be able to guest on the show or become a permanent member like me. I guess I wrote in too many times. but honestly, guys, send us stuff. We need feedback like we need food and water. It's a part of our lives. We need it. Come on, send it.
Yeah, really.
We're hungry.
Don't be shy, guys.
So
we're like those starving children that you see on the commercials. Except we need your comments.
We don't need them. We don't need your. We don't need your $1 a month thing. We just need your comments.
Yes, yeah, screw your dollar.
Really. It just takes literally. This takes 5 minutes of your time, not even to just drop in and say, "Hey, love the show. I have a suggestion," or "Hey, love the show. I found it funny when Skull was called a girl for 2.5 episodes."
or even, "Hey, hated the show. You guys suck."
Oh.
I mean, as long as you provide some constructive feedback that we can work on, we'll be fine. Even if it's negative, then we'll know what we need to work on.
But I might even start doing something that I've seen in other podcasts, where they out loud give out, just say who gives them so many stars from iTunes and whatnot. So, also read us there too. They can read out loud your reviews of us and just so. Give you some more recognition too.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, iTunes has become like super. Has like been completely decked out, with iTunes 10. It's awesome. So yeah, go check it out. It's a lot easier to comment and stuff.
Yes.
If you haven't subscribed to the SourceCast iTunes, you're missing out, really.
Yeah, really.
So, all that aside, there is a new thing on the forums called the Animation Source Scavenger Hunt.
Ah, yes. I have been hearing a little bit about this. Haven't heard a whole lot about it, mostly because the project details haven't been finalized, but UK is running a scavenger hunt of sorts, and the way that's going to work is basically you're going to form a team as soon as she gives everybody the go-ahead. And then you're going to take that team and you're going to try and complete different sorts of challenges or go find things. I don't know what kind of things you'd be finding exactly. But she gave one example about one of the challenges would be, like, she'd say, draw Balto, for example. And as long as you completed the challenge, then you would get the points. It's not based on how well it's drawn, how good the art is, the style. As long as they can tell it's Balto, you get the points, from what I understand.
Sounds pretty simple enough.
It sounds pretty fun. And I'm hoping that project doesn't fall to the wayside like other things have.
Right.
Oh, and a note to everybody, do not create your teams yet, because UK will basically lock any team threads that are on that page. She's already done it twice, maybe three times so far. So if you create a team, it's just gonna go away. So don't create a team until she says, "Okay, on your marks, get set, hunt."
But you can, like, start talking with other people about teams.
Yeah, you can go ahead and start having it in your head.
But don't. Or you can have it between PMs with you and five other people or whatever. Just don't put it on the page yet.
You know what I suggest? I think the source cast should get involved with this. I think we should make our own team.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Should compete. Let's do that.
We'll talk on the podcast, like, well, the scavenger hunt this week, they asked us to do this, and we did this, and here's what happened from it.
Exactly. And, UK, Sourcecasters, yeah, we're a team.
So, so watch out, everybody. Sourcecasters, out there and trying to win.
We're gonna win.
Yeah, man.
I just lost the game.
Yes!
And now on to our current events. Our top story: Toy Story 3 beats Twilight Eclipse at the box office. Basically, it's pretty straightforward. Toy Story 3 has beaten Twilight Eclipse at the box office.
How much money did you get exactly?
Well, the results still aren't entirely in, but as of today, September 29, 2010, Toy Story 3's domestic gross in the United States is $411,086,067. And worldwide, it is $1,050,786,067.
Oh, wow.
Just to give you a comparison, it's the fifth highest grossing film of all time ever made. Wow. And in the United States, it's the ninth highest grossing film. And basically everywhere in the world except for the including the United Kingdom, and except for United States, Canada, Australia, Germany, and Indonesia, it is the second highest grossing film in those countries after Avatar.
Wow.
It's the highest grossing G-rated film ever. It's the highest grossing animated film ever, beating Shrek 2 by... It earned basically a full movie's worth of money past Shrek 2 so far. And this is only... it isn't even at the end of its run yet. And I'm predicting within 2 weeks, it'll pass Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, become the fourth highest grossing film of all time. No way it can go any higher than that, folks. Sorry. But that'll mean it's the highest grossing Disney film ever made.
Wow.
So, that's really something.
Damn,
so, it's really a big thing to pass $1 billion worldwide. It's only the seventh film to do so. And,
especially if you're an animated kid movie.
Exactly. And that's what makes it all that much better, because it's an animated movie.
Now, the interesting thing is that it's one of the reasons why it's getting so much money is because of Toy Story 1 and 2. Now, when back in those days, the little kids who did watch that movie are now growing up. They're now older, and they see this Toy Story 3 movie, and they're like, "Oh, I remember this! I remember that movie, those movies!" And so they
Skull and Me,
and me too. I watched
all of this. I think,
I watched Toy Story 1 and 2 in theaters and at home a bunch of times, and you know, like you guys, I'm a little older than Andy is in that movie, but you know, still, it's you can relate to it, because we're the same age as Andy. We had to deal with, you know, having to let go of some of our favorite things from home, we relate to it. And I think that's why it's making a lot of money.
Especially like I said before about the original audience for Toy Story 1 and 2, like the majority of them, at least as far as I can tell, are in the same position as us. It's like that nostalgia sort of thing going on.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
An interesting story for when I went to see Toy Story 3 is I went to see it the same day Eclipse came out. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Eclipse's total gross was less than half of Toy Story's. Just to let you guys know, that was the original article. But anyway, when I went to see it, it was the morning Eclipse came out. Everybody was lined up. I was literally the one person there to see Toy Story. And everybody else, there was 100 people lined up to get Eclipse tickets. I walked up there and I said, one for Toy Story in 3D, please, because I had to see it in 3D.
Of course.
But anyway, so I said that and I got my ticket and I couldn't help but feel like I was the third wheel because I was there in the midst of Twilight fans. This is how much I like the movie. I went to see it, and the instant it was done, I ran back to the box office and I said, one for Toy Story 3, please, and I ran right back in to watch it again. That's how much I liked it.
In 3D again?
No, the second time I watched it in 2D. And it's actually kind of funny. The 3D showing, there were two other families there, two parents and their three kids. But for the 2D showing, the theater was so packed it was hard for me to find a seat, and almost everybody was my age or older.
And I know a lot of my friends that actually did get to go see it really loved that movie. I still haven't seen it, and it drives me insane.
I'm in the same position, too. I haven't seen it yet.
Friends that I have that are college age, like, you know, all of us, went to see that movie and went, aww.
Aww. See, I remember when I was little, next to Bambi, I watched Toy Story 1 religiously.
Oh yeah.
There are only two. This is way back when, back in my day, sort of thing, where we actually
back
had
in your day.
where we actually had VHS tapes, and how I would do this. These are the only two movies where I would actually sit there and watch them through, get up, get the VHS out, put it in the rewinder, put it back in, and watch it again right back to back.
Oh, a trivia fact: the very first DVD that I got was a dual pack of Toy Story and Toy Story 2.
Oh, wow.
And I still have those.
Nice.
Moving on, we've got some small reviews we're going to be doing about some older movies that aren't really old, but have come out in the past few years. So, on that note, we're going to start out with All Dogs Go to Heaven. Going to do some brief reviews on some of these movies.
Just to quickly clarify, All Dogs Go to Heaven isn't exactly the most recent movie ever.
No, of course.
All the other movies that we have in line are, but All Dogs Go to Heaven is just...
We're going to do a brief review about that.
Okay, so who wants to start it?
Rusty, you start.
Oh, okay. I get that. I want to say you could definitely tell the age of the movie compared to what's being released now, even for an animated movie, but it's still a classic and it's still just as funny, even though it's most definitely, like, you could definitely tell the time period and the lighter censorship.
It's definitely more geared towards adults, really? I can say that much.
and it just happened to get a G rating.
It's kind of like Finding Nemo, I guess, of jokes that only adults would understand.
Yeah, but if you think about...
Well, not only that, it's just got a lot of content that is more geared towards adults. That and really, really heavy themes when you stop and think about it all.
And then Skull?
Oh, I didn't actually see it until about a year ago.
Oh.
So, what I have to say about it is dark but entertaining. Out of 4 stars, I give it 2.5, 3. It has its quirks and the songs are... less than classic, but it's a great story. I highly recommend it.
Oh, the songs.
I must reiterate this because I don't feel enough people saw it on the forums, but singing effeminate crocodile.
Yep. I have not seen the movie, but I plan on doing it as soon as possible, but from what little I do know about the movie, it is extremely dated.
Yeah. So,
it is.
These are light reviews, so we're going to move on now to Up. And who wants to have the first torch for Up?
Ooh, me.
Okay,
go ahead, ladies first.
The Expert?
I loved Up. Old man for the win. No, really. It was a really cute movie. I know a lot of people... I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, that's just so classic and, you know, not original, having a crotchety old man and his heart be warmed by a child. But, I mean, honestly, everybody wants to see that kind of movie. Audiences want to see something like that.
It's why it's a popular classic sort of story. There's a reason why.
And it was very well done.
And it's Disney, right? It's,
and
it's,
it was a good
Yeah, Disney usually doesn't. And it's Pixar, too.
Disney
Pixar.
Is it just Pixar or Disney Pixar?
Disney Pixar is there a difference anymore?
Yeah, right.
There's no difference.
I can't really say anything more than what's already been said. Just go watch it. It's an amazing movie. It's awesome.
I need to do that still.
And last but not least, Skull?
4 out of 4. It was a terrific movie. Even if it wasn't animated, it's a terrific film. You kind of get a... You don't know which side to root for, really. When it comes down to Carl Fredrickson and Russell, they just make a great team. They're basically Woody and Buzz all over again.
Ah, that's cool.
Except in a crotchety old man and little kid.
True, but, you know, it was really a terrific film. It had just the right mix of comedy and seriousness, of laughter and tears. Oh man, it was just great.
Alright, so next up on the plate is Ratatouille.
In two words, surprisingly entertaining. I mean, you hear about the movie, it's what, a rat who wants to cook? What kind of a film could that possibly be about? But then you walk into the theater, you sit down and you watch it and you're like, oh man, why did I ever think badly of this movie? It's amazing how you can take something as simple as somebody who wants to cook and make it into a terrific film. Yeah, Ratatouille, definitely go and see it if you haven't already. And if you haven't already, you're really missing out. Especially if you have a big dream that you don't think you can do or people try to say you can't do, go and see it because it's really inspiring. It really inspires you.
I believe I have seen the movie too. I remember parts of the movie that I don't specifically remember seeing it, but I must have seen it somewhere. But it was good. I mean, it wasn't an amazing movie, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
Right.
I mean, that's about all I can say. It was good. I enjoyed it. It's at least worth renting at the very minimum.
Yeah. Well, especially now, just if you haven't had any sort of access to it from a friend or something, just go out and rent it. It's just really that good. Now, as far as me to say, I thoroughly did enjoy the movie, and me being really focused on the music, it fits. It really does fit. Now, the only problem with the movie I have is just really not the movie itself, but I've always felt uncomfortable with the way that, especially like the way that chefs think and like compete against each other. I have not ever been comfortable with how that sort of atmosphere is, or how seriousness the whole chefs thing situation actually ends up being. And now I know it's only an animated movie in a fantasy world, but still. But that's only a really minor factor as far as me enjoying the movie. It's good.
I kind of actually really liked how they made light of it, though. Like, even though it was really serious at first, it started getting a lot more relaxed as the movie went on.
Yeah.
Like, as they all started to have more and more fun with it.
Yeah.
That and Rats for the win.
Rats.
Interesting tidbit on Ratatouille. To save production costs, the main human characters were completely designed and animated without toes.
That's
they had little brick feet. They had brick feet inside of their shoes. That's all they had. That's only if you want to know about that kind of stuff.
They didn't really need them.
Yeah. It's only feet.
I don't know about you, but I watched that movie for the rats, not for the people. I mean, I liked the people. They were nice.
I agree. Yeah. So. Next up is Wall-E.
I watched this movie over the summer. To put it simply, I love Bolt. I really do. I love the movie. But I gotta say that Wall-E was cinematically the superior movie of 2008, because it just was. Bolt was a good story, but Wall-E was depth and had a wide applying underlying message that was kind of relevant to the times, even though I think you have a feeling that might contain itself in the future, but still, it's a good movie. It's beautifully animated. I felt a lot more attached to it than Bolt did. Mostly because Wall-E didn't have the annoying character that Bolt did, because in Bolt they had the really obnoxious, annoying ape guy that was Penny's agent.
Now, despite that, I'm gonna have to disagree with you on, at least for my personal opinion, on the whole Wall-E being more superior to Bolt, just because I'm more into the whole like action-packed seriousness going on. But that's just personal. Now back to Wall-E. I think it was most definitely a cute movie, and just the visuals and the story itself is just it's just not subpar, but really good, like enjoyable.
I really love the music for it too.
Oh yeah, I love how they used footage from Hello Dolly. I love how they used movie clips from that. Really, they integrated it really well, and. Then, they also put in, it was like the first animated movie, first CGI movie to also include live action. And that was done really well. But I think that works to its advantage because, well, I'm not going to say why because that would be a bit of a spoiler, so.
Now, moving on real fast because I think we have time within this segment of the recording to quickly do the How to Train Your Dragon, review that we wanted to, kind of do.
Yeah, so, but I saw How to Train Your Dragon too. That was a good movie.
Right. Right. So do you want to open it up first?
You should open it up.
Okay. Well, it's most definitely been a while since I've actually seen the movie back when it was released in like 2 weeks afterwards. But still, off the top of my head, I want to say that it has automatically has top notch just from the quality of the animation from the very beginning all the way to the climax and the end, and accompanied with the music that they actually started playing
it's amazing.
It reminds me of, to anybody who enjoys like those fantasy medieval sort of type of games and the music, even like akin to Lord of the Rings almost, is how interesting the music and engaging the music is, on top of all the great animation and the great storytelling that the developers definitely used.
What I really enjoyed the most was the flying sequences. Those were amazing.
Who doesn't like, who does not like that sort of thing? Who does not like dragons? Who does not like flying on dragons? It seems like no matter any movie, anytime a dragon comes into the screen, it's like, cool!
Like in Aragorn, for example, that's where I got my name from, Skoblog Circle, literally means dragon rider in the Aragorn language. That's where I got my name. So
I recognized it from somewhere.
That's where I got it. That's because I love dragons, and like you said, every time you're on, you see a movie and it's what it looks like from the back of the dragon, you really feel like you're flying. It's amazing.
Yeah. Just to add on to that whole feeling of seeing a dragon, the entire movie is kind of like that, because every scene there's a dragon in there, and it's not like you get tired of it because. It's not like you can get tired of it because, as everyone knows, it's not just Toothless that ends up appearing in the movie, but it's a bunch of different really cool looking and stylized dragons that appear throughout the movie, and each of them have their own characteristics, and it kind of shines because even though they don't really say anything and they actually are a minor character as far as the other dragons go, they still have like their own personality. They're all like kind of three-dimensional and you can like them. It's actually really cool.
You know, what I'm going to say, I'm just going to call this right now. I predict that at some point in Universal Studios or some theme park, at some point they're going to have a How to Train Your Dragon ride somewhere.
Maybe.
That would be fun.
It really wouldn't surprise me, right, especially now with how they're doing all the Harry Potter rides. It would not surprise me at all.
Right. That would be so fun.
I would be first in I would try to be first in line for How to Train Your Dragon ride. And Rusty recently got back from the cinema to walk, or the theater, I guess, to watch a movie that recently came out, like last week, at Alpha and Omega. So Rusty, please tell us about it, because none of us have seen it yet.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny that how we ended up going there. I was just hanging out with my girlfriend. We decided to go to the movie, and like, oh, we were looking through the listing, like, oh, Alpha and Omega is coming, is out. Let's go watch it. It turns out that we went to go watch it the day of its release. So it's actually quite, it was actually kind of entertaining in that, regard.
How crowded was the theater?
Unfortunately, I can't say it was too crowded. It actually was like, if you were to say Avatar, you could probably say it was the equivalent of Avatar in theaters after about a month. But there were still really little kids even, and there were actually still like another couple, like my girlfriend and I, just going there to see it. So, but anyways, to the movie itself. Now, one thing that I remember seeing before ever thinking of going to see, of actually watching the movie, was that there was a lot of people, specifically artists, who were really complaining about the animation style and the hair and the anatomy details. Yes, it's most definitely a point to bring up, but as you watch it and the way that as you watch it and you notice the way that they decided to animate and the sort of physics that they decided to implement in the story, at least for me, you start realizing like, oh, it's a design choice. There's nothing really wrong with it if the movie is consistent with the way it animates. The way I would describe how it animates is it's most definitely cartoon physics, like the Tom and Jerry sort of cartoon physics, if you would say, like weird body parts stretch in weird ways, but they always like swing back and like ricochet. Like, it's the cartoon physics world sort of deal that they were trying to go through. And I guess I want to say that the first time I've ever seen that with a 3D animated film is Alpha and Omega, and it's kind of weird to see it that way with the animation style, but still, it's not too much of a it's not that big of a point to bring up against the movie. Now, as far as the story itself, it's a bit slow. Okay, the story itself isn't all that bad, but the reason why I say it's slow is that there are some parts that are just downright weird. The way that the situations the characters get in as far as socially between each other kind of leads to awkward moments, and it kind of, like, at least to me, makes me feel uncomfortable in my seat watching it. In particular, I'm just going to quickly do a semi-approach to a spoiler, but they have howling sections in the movie, and you can cringe. They're like cringe-inducing sometimes.
Oh, that's... I'm gonna have to review this movie.
I guess if you could really tell the movie that it's like a black sheep of sorts for movies, kind of like Balto 2. There are people who are going to enjoy it despite its flaws, and there are going to people who hate it because of its flaws. But it's really that middle divide, I think, about the movie. Now, as far as the music, off the top of my head, I can't remember too much of it. But I do remember that I did enjoy it, and it was most definitely a piece of a soundtrack that I was going to get for my personal listening. So it can't be that bad, especially if I'm getting it. If I were to give it a rating out of 5 stars, I would give it a 3. Between a 2.5 and 3.5, like that sort of area. It depends on how you look at it, really.
So it's average.
It's average in regards to it being a B movie.
It's like an
average to below average B movie, if you can understand how that works. But I still personally enjoyed it. I still personally enjoyed it. So if I really had, if I like had money laying around and it releases, I might as well just get it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So
I did a little bit of research into the company that made it. It's called Crest Animation Studio, and it's a company based in India. And which is surprising, because the last episode we were talking about Planet 51, which was surprisingly not done by DreamWorks or Disney, but rather by a Spanish studio called Ilion Animation. And I looked at this company's website, and I couldn't find any detail about it, but you remember that show Arthur the Aardvark?
Yeah.
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 I have no idea.
Well, I saw there was an image on this website of a 3D rendered version of Arthur and his family.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. Are they really going to do that? I don't know, because I looked over the website and I couldn't find anything about it, but that's an interesting idea.
Wow.
I don't know. This company could do good things. It might be just starting out, because this is its first foray into CGI animation.
Yeah. So, which reminds me a little bit. Sorry to just jump back into a portion into my review, but I had two more things to say about the movie. I wanted to complain a little bit about the dialogue, just because it's like a good portion of the other, like some other parts of the movie, it's kind of awkward, and particularly because the movie is aimed for like entertaining little kids and stuff, and not too little kids, but kids, right? When they start trying to joke about things, the jokes kind of fall flat for their purpose of a kids movie, just because they're a little more adult. But they're adult jokes, kinda, but they're trying to make it so that kids understand them, and that can lead to very awkward things, especially because you get on the subject of like, oh, like one of the quotes was, you have been relocated to, repopulate? And like, you know, you saw that in the trailer, and that sort of joke kind of falls flat on its face, and that sort of thing happens quite often in the movie, unfortunately. But it's still, you know. See, I know animated movies that do that real well, but this one in particular is also trying to help the kids understand the adult jokes too, which, like I said, is awkward.
Which, I don't know. That might not have been such a good idea.
Yeah, but still.
Sounds like Shrek to me.
Kind of, yeah. Right?
Except Shrek did it well.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Finding Nemo did too, and it was a lot more subtle.
Right. Last thing I wanted to add is, to anybody who wants to do sort of like 3D animation and animation in general, or just curious as to the behind the scenes material, this movie actually does something incredibly interesting for the background images for the credits. As they go through the credits, it's on a black screen with the white text scrolling up, but as it goes on, there's the pre-release like development images and material that just fly off across the screen and whatnot. It's actually really cool. You can see concept art that just flies around. You can see the unfinished renders of the character models and the backgrounds and stuff like that. It's actually really interesting just to sit there and sit through the credits and just watch all this sort of material just fly by. And see what they use to animate. So that's really interesting.
And, sounds fun.
Yeah, let's see. There are the kind of cast list stuff. Main actors that I recognize are Justin Long. I can never pronounce this name right. Hayden Panettiere?
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay. Dennis Hopper. Danny Glover. That's about it.
Now we're going to talk about some releases that have happened are upcoming that are about to release and stuff like that. So we'll give it back to Skull.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're looking forward to buying Fantastic Mr. Fox, you will have to wait no longer. The movie has been released on DVD and Blu-ray. Just go and buy it or rent it, and you can enjoy it to your heart's content. And it's also on iTunes. Sourcecast has been talking about that for quite a few episodes. If you haven't seen it already, you really ought to see it. It's a terrific film. So, and now you know that you can see it if you missed it in theaters. Go out and get it.
Which you should, because it's funny. Mm-hmm. Anyways, next.
Yeah.
Yeah, next is Studio Ghibli's Ponyo. It's that movie about the girl who's a goldfish. So, yeah, that's on DVD. It's not as good as the rest of Hayao Miyazaki's films, but it was cutesy. So, yeah, that's on DVD now.
And, of course, Princess and the Frog is also on DVD. That's DVD and Blu-ray. The one Steve was gushing about because for a relief, just the fact that it was released in itself. So hey, give it a pick it up, and you know you'll probably influence Disney a little bit to make another 2D anime.
Right, I've actually had some time to just mess around with the DVD and the other stuff. There's actually quite a bit of really cool tidbits that they used throughout the movie as far as the ideas and that they were portraying. So it's actually really cool just to even see all the extra stuff that comes with the movie.
And in case you didn't know, we also have a source for The Princess and the Frog, and I need something to moderate, so come by if you want.
Yeah, please give Skull some work.
In case you missed our little mini review of How to Train Your Dragon, that's also on DVD now. DVD and Blu-ray, so go pick it up. I will probably be renting that myself very soon to watch.
How to Train Your Dragon comes out on DVD on October 15th.
Oh, does it?
No, in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
In a couple
fail
weeks.
On my part, then. I am
2 weeks from Tuesday,
coming out,
I think.
Anyways.
October 15th is a Friday.
Okay, it's a Friday.
Yeah. So it's coming out soon, so it's soon.
Going out with the releases, what was it, on September 7th? Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep for the PSP came out. And for anyone who doesn't know, or just because I want to hear myself talk, Kingdom Hearts is that video game as a result from the collaboration of Disney and Square Enix, where they have this awesome mix of Disney characters and stories mixed with Final Fantasy characters and Final Fantasy-like characters. So, yeah.
In the words of the silly hamster from Bolt, be awesome.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts is be awesome.
It is.
Yeah. Now I need to go get a PSP and get the game and play it.
Yes, me too.
Because I'm missing out. I already missed out on the 358 Days Over 2 game, whatever. I still don't have that.
I have it. I haven't played it. That's the same.
Anyway.
So
now I did rent it, so.
And I have to go buy a $200 PSP and then a $50 game.
I don't think it's happening.
I can't win. I just lost the game.
Oh, yes!
That's the second time.
Let's move on to upcoming.
Upcoming. This movie actually came out. Today was, the 29th? On September 24th, The Legend of the Guardians... Guardians of Gahool movie came out. It's that movie that you see on commercials about the owls.
Yeah.
And so far, I'm probably one of many people on the boat that said that weren't too interested in the movie and it looked kind of iffy-ish. But apparently, from what I'm hearing, it's entertaining. It's good. Which is surprising. But, hey, anything else you want to add? Anybody?
It was based on a book of movies. My little sister loved it. I don't know what to think of it yet. I will pass judgment after I have seen it.
Right.
I watched a video review of it. It's a pretty interesting... A lot of the reviewers were quite surprised at how good it was. They have a rating system where they gave it a full price, which is like the second highest rating they can give it. So... they mentioned it was pretty good, but the Rotten Tomatoes review said it's pretty good, and although it might be a little too violent and frightening for children. So maybe I'd recommend this to, you know, middle schoolers and up.
I got one thing to say. It isn't animated. We just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah. Just big talk. Big talk. Anyways, up next is something very interesting. We've talked about this before. It's come up on the news. There have been some recent updates for the video game Epic Mickey for Wii.
Drop and roll, please.
This game makes me smile.
Just recently, there's been a number of video game events that, who is it, Disney? It is Disney. They've released a lot of like trailers and video footage and whatnot, and just what they're planning on doing with different aspects of the game to stay true to the original animations. Especially, there's a lot of interviews with Warren Spector and other developers for the game. And apparently we also have a release date for it. For the US, it's November 19, and for Europe, it's November 25th.
The platform is the Wii.
The Wii.
Yep.
Fabulous, fabulous.
The Wii.
Make sure you have your Wii dusted off for this game.
Yes.
Because we always overplay that joke.
If you want to learn more about Epic Mickey, Steve has posted a news article on the front page of Animation Source. Personal thought, it looks epic.
It looks
epic, absolutely epic. I mean, they have made it so that there is no possible way to lose, and there are probably 10 dozen ways to win. And it's your choice how you win.
Pretty much, you decide if you want to be the goody-two-shoes hero. If you want to do it however... It's pretty much you do it however you want, but your decisions affect how easy it makes the game for you later.
Right.
For instance, if you decide to just destroy things that get in your way and not help people, they don't trust you. Yeah.
Now, one thing, I remember they did talk about that before, how what you do things, like if you decide to go around things instead of destroying things in your path to get from point A to point B, if you like do bad things, like destroy things, you start being like a scrapper Mickey Mouse. So like if you just stand there and have him idle, he'll be like all leaning down and hunched over, like ready to just look around and just pounce on something. But apparently in one of the interviews that I've read recently, that they took that out just because people weren't familiar with it, especially people who grew up with the old Mickey cartoons. So that little feature is not there, but you can still decide to go around things or blow things up. So that's pretty cool. It's November 19th for us, November 25th for Europe. No information for everybody else.
So all you Europeans, you could just come over to US, buy our coffee 6 days ahead of time if you want.
Yeah.
Provided that you have a region-free sort of system.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the announcement Disney made about the Lion King Diamond Edition.
Yeah.
And basically what that is it coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh,
Blu-ray.
That's awesome.
really?
Blu-ray!
Yeah. Which is admittedly a good thing. That means that Blu-ray discs store a lot more information than your typical DVD. So they've got better art in there, better graphics, better sound quality.
And more special features, I'm sure.
And more special features, because there's probably a bigger menu, so probably lots of Easter eggs.
But we should be used to this sort of thing, because Disney does this thing all the time. Like, they open up the Disney vault and bring out a classic movie that's remastered again.
And then they lock it away for 15 years and you never see it again.
Moving on, the next big movie that Disney is making after Tangled, of course, which is coming out just in November, the next big movie Disney is making is Winnie the Pooh.
Ooh.
And I've learned a few details about this. It is not going to be a sequel. It's not going to be a ripoff. It's not going to be a spinoff in any way of the original Pooh movies, of the cartoon series, anything.
So it's going to be
basically,
like a
reboot? Not necessarily. It's just an original movie standing on its own. Basically, they're taking five of A.A. Milne's original stories, and all they're reusing is the caricatures that Disney made. Basically, that's it. The same design, the same way they act on screen, but it's in no way related to any other Winnie the Pooh thing that Disney's ever done. It's going to be an original movie through and through.
Okay.
And it comes out July 11, 2011, I think.
Man, that's
something
a while.
Like that. Nice. Just real fast to finish this up, while I was watching Alpha and Omega, one of the trailers that they showed up was that they're doing a 3D animation Yogi Bear movie.
So not
a whole lot of information, just that it looks like it's most definitely a B movie, even though they're really trying to bring out a classic from way back when. It doesn't really look that good from the one trailer I see, to be honest with you.
I saw a clip from the trailer. And to be honest, even in the simple clip, which is just like Yogi riding on a train, I looked at it and I looked at the way the character looked, as to how it moved a little bit. I just said, this can't be good. This cannot be good at all. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's doesn't look good.
No, that's not animated either. We just thought we'd bring it up.
Alright, and the last thing on our list is that the How to Train Your Dragon DVD release has been announced to be October 15th. Like we said before earlier in the show. That's exciting. For all of you who that's exciting. For all of you who didn't see it in theaters, shame on you. You get to see it at home.
Oh, dang it, Rusty.
Right? But now you get to see it at home. You can see it as many times as you want without it. Paying any more money, which is
good.
And this also,
shame being rusty.
Shit, me too.
Anyways, real fast. That's exciting. I was reading somewhere an article. I don't remember where, but they said that because of the success that they had with the first movie, they have a How to Train Your Dragon sequel in the works. Like, they're planning for it, and I don't know how I feel about that, but I think just because of what it is, and didn't they say that it was based on a kid's story?
Yeah, it's based on a series of kids' books.
Yeah, see, like, I don't feel too bad about hearing an announcement for a sequel to that movie. Just because, like I said before, the whole dragon thing is like, oh, that looks so cool. And I'm pretty sure they would do a good job with it. Either way.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
If they don't, we can always just storm their offices and beat them up, you know.
Right?
Like, get out of here! Train your dragon, you idiots! Oh!
Then Disney wouldn't have any competition whatsoever.
No! Then you know, every other company would be like, I surrender. Disney, you win.
Alrighty. So we'll end this segment. We'll set enough and close off this section now.
And now for some extra stuff. So, we've gotten some emails and some contacts lately about people who really want to get involved with SourceCast and maybe want to come on as guest speakers. That's great, guys. But you haven't really helped us out a whole lot about what you want to talk about. Typically, the way we want this to go down when we have a guest speaker is we want some general idea of what you're going to talk about if we haven't, you know, specifically asked you for an interview or for a commentary on something. So if you'd like to be a guest speaker and want to come on here and maybe do an interview or something in addition to an interview, please send us some topics. Specific topics with some actual description about what you would talk about and how you might bring light to that topic in a different way than maybe we won't be doing it. Just do stuff to tell us things that will really pique our interest and make us interested in, that was really redundant, I'm sorry. make us excited to have you come on the show and be a guest speaker with us, because, you know, that's basically what we're going here for.
Yeah, so tell us about your new fan fiction series, or your new music video, or something to that effect.
Or some thoughts.
For example.
Yeah.
for example, me, I have 80 fanfics on Balthasaurus, literally 80. If I weren't a sourcecaster, I would write in to say, hey, I got 80 fanfics, why don't I say what some of them are about, my inspiration for them,
Right. Now, just one thing to keep in mind, like, unlike what Anaya just said about if you have something that you want to, like, show off, that's great, Anaya, and we'll gladly deal with that sort of thing, but you have to kind of make sure that it's also worth the time and, like, the time to talk about. Like, you have to also provide a little bit of content, like, your reason for showing it off, your reason for doing it, and not just, oh, look what I did, I made this cool picture, I want to go on the Sourcecast to announce it and have nothing for us to really, like, think about or discuss about.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Skull was talking about here, or when we had Dragon Tamer earlier before. We had reasons to talk about. There was things that, there was fan fictions, there was the content, and then there was also the reasons for leading up to the content, and reasons for, like, expectations and people's reactions already that we've already seen before. Just discussions. We need material that's also able to start discussions like that.
Exactly. So, yeah, again, I'm just going to reiterate, pretty much, it's if you've got something new to add to the discussion, especially, or any discussion, or some profound thought that nobody really has ever had before, send it to us. That would make a great discussion topic. And
it doesn't have to be just fanfics. You can be a fan artist, you could be a game book designer, you could be anything. And it doesn't have to just be Balthasaurus either. Lion King source, Spirit source, All Dog source, you can
right.
be anywhere, anything, but please just try to give us something to actually...
And this is for being a guest speaker. Don't feel like we're not accepting anybody's request. If you really, really want to say, if you really want to advertise what you're doing, go ahead and send it to the mailbag. We'll gladly read it out loud on the show for you to announce that you're doing something or whatnot. If you,
yeah,
if
that just fits more in the shout out area.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing I have to add to that is the list of people who had asked formally to join as guest speakers in some way and talk about some things. Raging Balto, Kone. Is it Kone or Kone?
I've never been able to pronounce that correctly.
I always said it Kone, like Tony, but Kone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we'll have him to correct us on that.
Yeah, you know who you are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Axel and Ohura Werewolf, I know you sent me a PM about some topics to talk about. I haven't gotten to look through those in its entirety, and I haven't gotten to send any suggestions back. I'm really, really sorry. I'll do that soon, I promise. But pretty much anybody else who would like to do stuff. I know Tailspan also had said something about that, but we didn't really hash any of that out very well. I'll get there eventually when my brain's fine. Moving right along.
We don't
really have a whole lot of interesting fan news this week.
No, but we do have one special occasion. We do got...
Oh, that's right. Swords'
yep.
birthday is next week.
Yeah. It's actually Friday, but it's cool.
So this Friday, right?
Yeah.
This Friday?
This week, it's October 1st.
Oh.
Oh, wow. So it's like tomorrow.
So
tomorrow.
Yeah, like 12:30 a.m.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I got that wrong. It's this week.
Yeah, well, hey.
Because, again, my brain is broken.
Happy birthday to you, Swords.
Swords' birthday is on Friday. Send him a PM saying happy birthday.
Thank
you. If you have something you want to give him, you're going to have to ask him for
his picture.
Yeah. See, now... This section is typically for everybody else that we notice that have a birthday in a particular month, but that's really hard for us to even catch. So this is another reason for you guys to contact us through the mailbag. Send us your birthdays if you want them announced.
send your best friend's birthday so we can announce it and, you know, he'll feel special.
Yeah, and not only that, let me know if you would like me to try and continue writing down all the birthdays, or if you want me to go by the birthday topic that's in the other section of the forums, because that's supposed to have a lot more of the active people's birthdays, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have all of them. Yeah. Let me know what you want me to do.
Yeah, please.
Hang in
to help us.
The only problem I really have with it is if I don't manage to get on for one day and I miss all of the birthdays, they're gone if I just can't get on for one reason or another during that 24-hour period.
Yeah.
And I can't go back and retrieve the names from the bottom of the forum. So, hey, maybe that's a way
you
guys can contribute to the SourceCast. Anybody want to write down birthdays for me?
And if you don't send in your birthdays, we're just going to probably omit this section altogether.
Yep.
And we don't want to do that. We like all our sections.
We do.
Yeah.
We like saying happy birthday to all of you who really like to hear happy birthday live in front of hundreds, if not thousands of people. So if you want to hear us say happy birthday to you, write in my birthday is this date, see if it works into your podcast. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now on to the mailbag. So we've got you always have our question for the mailbag. We asked you last time what was your favorite April Fool's prank, and we didn't get any answers. Come on, people. We were gone for, 6 months, people. Come on.
Ample time.
Ample time.
Ample time for you guys to send answers.
You guys failed. You guys lost the game.
Again.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's
believe me.
For anybody who's keeping score.
So, make up for your missed opportunity, we're going to pose you a question right now. And we thought it would be cute in the spirit of things to ask you how many of you thought that Skull was a girl when you first knew him. So, and as always, email it to sourcecast@gmail.com or post it on our forum topic in the other section.
And we also have a secondary question.
How many of you, other than Rusty, Anayu, and me, thought Skull was a girl until he got on the SourceCast?
Or earlier.
Yeah, no idea how fun that was.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed every minute of it. I still enjoy every minute of it.
So we've also got another question to ask to also give you a second double opportunity, because we really want input.
See?
And
yeah.
Also, in the spirit of things, since it's almost October, what are you dressing up as for this Halloween? And if you're not dressing up, what's your favorite costume to see or wear or use or costume concept? Anything.
Yeah,
what's your favorite costume overall?
Or what costume would you really like to see that you've never seen before?
Yes.
That's stuff like that.
Now, remember, just send your answers to the sourcecast@gmail.com and we'll very likely read it out loud. Because we have
posted on our forum topic in the other section.
And either way, we will make sure to read it out loud the next SourceCast.
If you really want to, you can PM it to one of us.
That works too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
We're desperate for input.
Just any input we can get will be fine. You want feedback.
So that'll be it for the mailbag. We just need things to read, so get working on that. We need your stuff.
Yeah.
Also working, as we've also said before, we're also working on we're working on getting a live feed SourceCast going.
Oh, yes.
But considering that we're all in different locations, that's not going to be terribly easy. But we're working on it. So bear with us.
We were almost there. We just still having a lot of technical issues with it, so it's still there. Anyways, why don't we just right now go ahead and lead ourselves out with the conclusions.
All right.
Once again, thank you for listening in on this episode, and thank you so much for being so patient with us as actually getting this episode out, and also dealing with me and my foxiness is when I did that joke episode.
Rusty, you're very foxy.
Arr.
Foxy.
Oh, hey. We don't need another person being confused by...
That crossed the line.
I'm sorry.
So, I'm going to quickly just say the contact information and whatnot. So, we are the Sourcecasters. You can find us mainly at the Animation Source and the forums. You can contact us by emailing us to you can email us at sourcecast@email.com. You can
email.
Oh my god. Listen, it's way too late. Okay, I want to say that again. You can email us at sourcecast@gmail.com. You can also... Wait, I didn't say it wrong, did I?
No, you got it right. That's
See, you can also... You can also PM each of us on the forums. We're also working on our website at www.sourcecast.webs.com, and you can find the podcast itself at mypodcast.com, at the iTunes store, and you can find us in this show in sections on YouTube. And I'm sorry, that's completely long-winded, and I'm out of breath.
Speaking of YouTube, another promotional idea I've had that I would like input on from other people is, do you want us to host you in our subscription boxes for different episodes? Like, we could have a challenge, like whoever answers the question first gets hosted in the subscription box, so people will subscribe to your channel or can check out your videos, and therefore, you know, give you some more looks and subscribers. Throwing that out there. Something like that.
Yeah, you could tell we're desperate for feedback.
Right.
So to end, thank you so much and so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Yes.
So says the notes.
Yes.
Anyways.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Good night, Animation.
Good
source.
Night. So this is the Sourcecast, and I'm Rusty.
I'm Anayu.
I'm Swords.
And I'm Skablaka.
Good night, guys.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Peace so out. Long, and thanks for all the fish.
Peace
See
out.
You guys. Now, guys, I'm going to do a review of Balto 2. I'm trying to start off a web show that reviews furry-themed movies. And I figured that this would be of interest to you because a lot of you guys are fans of Balto. And if any of you guys have seen The Nostalgia Critic, that's kind of what I'm going for. And on that note, I want to just point out a little disclaimer. Despite the very angry tone that you will hear me having in this brief portion of my review, just know that I do not, that does not reflect my actual views of Balto 2. I'm trying, it's an act, the anger is an act, and mostly I'm just looking for stuff to make fun of, and then I make fun of it because it can be made fun of. So, just thought I'd get that out of the way so nobody starts hating me for it. So, just make sure everyone's okay with that before I start this. So, anyway, I watched Balto 2, and so, little background about it. It was made by Universal Animation Studios in lieu of Amblimation's generally going out of business. And it handled all of these animated sequels to the animated movies that Amblimation did, such as Balto, for instance. The What generally happened is that all these sequels, which were most often direct-to-video, paled in comparison to the originals. And of the three movies in the Balto trilogy, Balto 2 is generally viewed as the worst of the three, with the first one being the best. Why? Well, let's start out with a few things about it. First off, the voice actors. According to an interview, a fan managed to arrange with the director, Phil Weinstein, who's not the director for the first movie, that was Simon Wells. The movie's budget wasn't enough to hire back the same voice actors, Kevin Bacon and Bridget Fonda, to play the lead roles of Balto and Jenna. Instead, they got freaking Maurice LaMarche, a stand-up comedian and voice actor primarily for comedic roles. His most notable role is from his brain, from Pinky and the Brain. And yes, he did win an award for that role, but that does not have a bearing on how good he fits in for Balto. Balto's voice should not be reminding me of Pinky and the Brain. Plus, this movie isn't supposed to be purely comedy, so that's the role of Balto isn't even that comedic at all. Fortunately, they weren't so cruel as to make it into the kind of comedy Pinky and the Brain was. But as for Jenna, they got Jodie Benson, who played Ariel from the Little Mermaid movies. And yes, this does mean that it's a musical, even though she doesn't sing in the movie. Apparently, the animation studios had a policy that kids' movies had to have a certain number of songs in them. So I guess it didn't help that. But still, it's a bad idea. Though for some reason, they did manage to get Mark Hamill, who you might also know as the actor who played Luke Skywalker, to play the antagonist of this movie. I really have to question if they blew the movie's entire budget on hiring him, but I honestly don't care. I think Mark just wanted a role to maybe dignify himself after seeing the first Star Wars prequel back in 2000. And by the way, it doesn't. Like, not at all. And then there's the voice of Lacey Shaver, who you might recognize as the voice of Eliza from The Wild Thornberries, or Meg from season one of Family Guy. She doesn't bother me herself, but I'll get into her role a little later on. Second off, there's the music. It's crap compared to the first movie. The singing alone was just something that was totally not needed. I mean, the soundtrack of the first one was pretty good, being composed by James Horner, who did such great soundtracks as the one for An American Tale, Field of Dreams, Glory, Titanic, Aliens, Braveheart, Apollo 13, and most recently, Avatar, most of which were nominated for multiple awards in multiple awards ceremonies. They replaced this guy with Adam Berry, the guy who did that crappy fifth sequel to Beethoven, that movie about the St. Bernard dog who creates a mess. Jeez, people, don't you realize that music sets the mood? Get that through your heads. It's important. And then lastly, there's the obvious style change in the drawings of the characters. It's too drastic. You can tell that the completely different people drew these characters. Plus, they've got Balto's eyes wrong. The whites of his eyes were yellow in the first movie. What happened there? Did he get some sort of doggy eye surgery, bleaching, or some weird experiment that I don't even want to think about? Good lord. But then again, the whole thing has changed. Changed from actors that actually fit their roles to actors that are singers and a bunch of comedians. They didn't even make this movie that much of a comedy to begin with. Something is seriously wrong with whoever made these decisions. Oh. Let's just get started. This will be a little faster. So we start off with the dream sequence. A nightmare, as it turns out to be. No doubt a premonition for the rest of this movie. But suddenly, Balto is awoken because Boris is worried about how Balto is having bad nightmares recently. He decides to go into town to see Jenna to calm him. When it turns out she had puppies. Aw, puppies, yay. However, strangely enough, they all seem to take after Jenna, even though they're, what, a quarter wolf, aren't they? Let's see, Balto's half-wolf, Jenna's purebred husky. That would make them, if my genetics is correct, that would make them all one-quarter wolf, no matter what they looked like. Wouldn't that show some evidence of being wolf? Oh, well, you don't need to study genetics, I guess. Another thing you'll notice really quickly about this movie is the backgrounds. I mean, look at them. The sky is a rotating mishmash of stock photographs of the sky slapped into some animated background. And I'm not just talking about a few of them, but just about every single time you see the sky in this movie, it's a freaking photograph. I mean, I'm not against trying to be realistic, but that doesn't fit. I mean, was it cheaper than drawing a sky? I mean, maybe, but it's still distracting for the rest of the movie. It makes this movie look totally half done. That's just a snippet of my review. I edited it considerably because to make it appropriate for this podcast, I didn't want to do the whole review because I'm trying to make it into a video review because akin to the Nostalgia Critic. So any comments or thoughts about it would be very much appreciated.
Send them to the mailbag.
Yes,
by the way.
Please do.
But great job. Great job, Swords. For them. So,
yeah, great job, Swords.
Yeah. Once again, just to point it out, the movie does not make me that angry. It's acting, just so you know. And mostly, I'm just looking for stuff that I can make fun of, and I do. So,
mailbag for the win.